In 1980, the oil boom ended and then collapsed on Penn Square Bank in Oklahoma City in 1982 and then other banks. How did this affect Sonic?
Well, a lot of people forget, here in Oklahoma, we tend to think of the decline of the deep gas business really causing all the bankruptcies. Over 300 banks failed from 82 to 85. And all these companies out in the oil patch started, it was the dominoes. As one would go bankrupt, they couldn't pay, then that next company couldn't pay, then the person couldn't make their mortgage payment, and their house goes back. It was the second Great Depression in Oklahoma and Texas. Well, nationally, there was a recession in 1980. We'd had hyperinflation throughout the 70s. Sounds familiar now with the central bank ramping up interest rates to try to tame the roaring economy. Well, that was happening in the 70s. Jimmy Carter's president was fighting that. He promoted. Ronald Reagan gets a lot of credit, but Jimmy Carter started it. He said, we need to really back off of price controls and monopolies. Let's create more competition in the workplace. Ted Kennedy in the Senate was a champion. Let's deregulate the airline industry, which happened in 78. Let's deregulate trucking, which happened in 79. Let's deregulate all these things, more competition. Then the price will come down. And so while the central bank was raising interest rates over 10%, I remember 15% loans. You may not. You probably always wealthy. But anyway, my first house loan was 9% in 78. I thought I'd get a bargain. But anyway, it really started hard times in 80 with the national recession, and Sonic felt the impact. As these local communities were suffering, oil was really leaving the small towns. A lot of those small fields where Troy Smith knew well, Tecumseh, Seminole, Shawnee, those are all oil towns. Even Woodward was an oil town in the 50s. And so as the oil patch depletes in production and fewer jobs and is moving to more downhole, they were drilling to 3 miles by the 1960s. And as we're consolidating ownership, because all these little oil companies finally are going bankrupt, well, here comes Marathon and here comes Shell, and they're buying up all this production and centralizing it. It's changing the economy at the grassroots of Oklahoma. And so these local franchisees are having troubles. And as it starts tumbling down, it accelerates. And they close over 200 stores in the early 80s. Marvin Gyrus says, hey, I'm going to go back and save what franchises I can, because that time he had a number of franchises. Today, he has interest in over 150 or more stores. But he said, I've got to take care of my stores, so I've got to change my focus. So suddenly, Troy Smith stepped back in as president for a couple of years. They stumbled through division in the ranks of leadership. Some of the board members who own some stock, Troy being still the majority stockholder in this closely held corporation, there's dissatisfaction with it. Others saying, we can do better. In effect, a hostile takeover starts. And Troy says, I'm going to fight this. He gets enough proxy votes from the people who support him. He's got a smart young attorney, now a legal counsel by the mid-80s, named Cliff Hudson, who grew up in Oklahoma City, Northwest class and graduate, OU grad, Georgetown law, looking at the law, bored with that, wants to get into the action. He's in-house counsel, and he helps Troy navigate this consolidation of control. And then with the new executive or CEO who they bring in, they privatize the company with this group of people putting up the money, and with some investors. Art Linkletter, most famously, is one of those investors to do this consolidation. And so to do this leverage buyout is what it is. Art Linkletter and others put up money, and everybody on the staff, Cliff tells the story, is I had to mortgage my house, mortgage the car, sell the dog, to have a little bit of money to throw into the pot to do this leverage buyout of a company that is failing, seems to be failing to many people. So with Stephen Lin now in the role of CEO, with Troy Smith still hovering over the organization, and still these people like Marvin Gyrus and Matt Kinslow and Ralph Mason running their franchises, they consolidate and they say, we can do better. That's a turning point in the story of Sonic, really, coming out of the mid-80s by 85, 86.
They came out of that the pace of growth for Sonic 91 to 94 was slow because of the first Gulf War. How would that affect Sonic?
Gas prices. People were driving less. And to have a drive-in, people have to drive to get in. And so people are driving less. And again, a recession. People don't have a little bit of money. Consumer confidence may not be up. So what can you eliminate if your weekly food budget goes from $40 to $35? Well, instead of going out to Sonic and spending, 85 cents on a hamburger and onion rings, you're just going to cook a hamburger patty that you can buy for about 20 cents. So a little bit of lack of consumer confidence, a little bit of recession, a little less driving, and Sonic is not expanding as fast. And two, it's still dealing with these growing pains of this balance between centralized control, or really direction. I keep using the word control, which is really not accurate, but direction, in trying to set an example. Like, we have a system. If you follow it, you'll make more money. Well, they don't have to, but they start rewriting the contracts, and Cliff Hudson helps write a revised Sonic contract here in the mid-80s. So by the 90s, the revised contract, some people would leave. There was one large original founder out of that first generation. He said, hey, I'm gonna split off from Sonic, and I'm going to rename all of my franchises Star. So he starts a new business called Star Hamburgers, largely in Texas, some in Oklahoma. And others are leaving. They're shutting down and saying, we're not going to make it. We're going to try something else. But those who hung on, like Marvin Gyrus and Ralph Mason and his partners, working with Cliff on this restructured contract to be a franchisee. And in these contracts are more money flowing into the centralized operation because things are changing with advertising. They're saying, if we can advertise, you will do better out here. Even though it's not you spending advertising on your local radio station and your local newspaper, it might be going to this new thing called cable television. People are like, what's cable television? And so cable has an impact in this regional business model and more quality control and ramping that up and saying, we've got some weak franchises. How can we strengthen the strong ones? And the weak ones maybe go away. Instead of just looking at numbers, let's look at quality. Let's see who's making only 10% return on investment. And look at those that are making 20. Well, it's leadership. It's market. Let's do that. And they started doing their own corporate stores at this time, which is a way to really almost do an in-house laboratory. And so instead of trying to convince John and Bob to put in breakfast menu, what do you mean breakfast menu? That's going to cost me more money to bring staff in the morning. I've got to start 6 hours earlier. Well, there's no way that's going to pay for itself. Well, with their own corporate restaurants, they could start serving breakfast. And then they have the numbers to go back to John and Bob and say, here are the numbers. When we took this one restaurant, our gross increased by 25%, which means that here we were making our 20% net. Here's the dollars at the end of the day after we take out labor and supplies. You can make an extra of $50,000 over the next year if you go to this breakfast menu. Easier to convince Bob and John that they should do a breakfast menu or soft serve or expanded or whatever the new thing is. Having your own laboratory in-house, having your own chefs, having your own business people looking at it, crunching the numbers, working on new ideas, new designs of the way a Sonic should look, trying to find a uniform look, because at one point, other than the sign, you might see a Sonic with 12 parking places. Others, you might have 36. Some might be on a vertical lot going in. Some might be on a horizontal lot, like the old Top Hat in Woodward is still a horizontal lot, and it's still a Sonic today, the very same location. Of course, it's expanded. And so coming up with something that's consistent so people know, that's a sign. I see the sign, but it doesn't look anything like what's in my hometown. Then they start to look alike, and they can prove with their own restaurants, here, all of ours have this consistent look. Yeah, you're going to have to spend another $5,000 on this retrofit, but here's the impact it's going to have on your bottom line. So it's convincing. It's the carrot and the stick. And once you have these contracts in place, you have a little bit of a stick. But if you whack the franchisee too much, they're going to come dissatisfied, and they're going to drift away and do their own thing. With the carrot, they're being pulled in, and it's a gradual incremental process that Cliff Hudson would use like this magician coming up with new ideas. With Troy standing, yeah, go, I'm going to support you, Cliff, and let's make this thing work.